I am so thankful, Destiny family, that you guys are here, and thank you, Dr. Phil, for allowing me to be here. But today my talk is about leadership and personal empowerment, and I haven't graduated. I'm still old school, so you can see my paperwork. I haven't graduated to that power little iPad, so you don't even know what it's called. Leadership in this world, we know, is very fast-paced, and it is a toxic overload. So we as leaders have to know our purpose. And I have 7 strategic strategies that I'm going to be, little bullet points that I'm going to be talking about. So it's important, and I talk really fast, so I hope that you guys can keep up with me. I want to start off with the verse, John 10 and 10. I feel like that's my purpose statement. The purpose statement is not that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy, but that Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly. And I believe not only abundantly is above and beyond what we can even imagine. Don't you agree? I think that I believe and know that the Word of God is true, so that therefore, for he wants us to have life and life more abundantly. Our 7 strategic strategies is, I know that one time I was laying in bed one time and God woke me up and he said in an audible voice, be like General Patton. And I was like, well, I know General Patton. He was like an army and he's an officer or whatever. I don't even know anything about him. So I started looking him up and watching all the documentaries on him. And I was like, Lord, you want me to be a cusser? Because he cussed, that was what he was known for. He was known for just swearing all the time. But what he also, and because I kept thinking, God, what is it that you want me to do? And then I started understanding he was very strategic in everything that he done. So, and believe me, I'm not going to cuss today, okay? So don't worry about that. But our number one is the other side of fear, is we can look at Peter. What was Peter doing on the day that he decided to step out of that boat? Was he trying to make a name for himself? Was he just trying to say, hey, everyone, look at me? Was he going to post on Facebook and say, hey, on this such and such time, I'm going to step out? No, I believe what he did was set the standard for us to step out when the time arises, to step out and not worry about fear and just keep our eyes motivated, keep us focused on who is the one that we're supposed to be following, right? So it's only when he's got his eyes on the circumstances around him that he began to fall. So I think it's important that we don't always look at the circumstances around us, but that we have a very strategic mindset to go forward and to be able to step out on the other side of fear. And when we look at stepping out on the other side of fear, so many times the enemy wants to hold on to us to keep us focused on that fear so that we will not step out. But once we step out, believe it or not, on the other side of terror is God's best life for you. And so many times we want to hold back on that. So God placed the best things in life on the other side of terror. On the other side of your maximum fear are the best things in life. We have to live outside our comfort zone. And you know, as leaders, we do. Faith is also taking a risk. And I know most of you here are all leaders, and you do take risk, and you know how believing in faith is taking that risk. And I know as far as with Jeff and I, we've moved across country to be with church. We've actually went on mission trips, and all that takes risk. But one of the things that you do learn by taking risk is you see lives changed. I know whenever I went to India, we strapped $10,000 to our waist to get on the airplane to be able to go rescue 3 children. That was our mission trip, is to go rescue 3 children. We had no clue what we was doing, just like Peter. But we kept our eyes on who the one is that is most important, and we had the right motivation. So many times when we do taste that risk, we have to have not only others to support us, but we have to have the right motives. And you can tell people what their motives are when they do step out. Your beliefs manifest your reality through your thoughts and emotions. And here recently I was talking about whenever we look at the way we are programmed as we are being raised up by our moms and dads, we are actually programmed, but we can change our thoughts and our beliefs. So many times when we look at the psychology beside of it, when my mom always said, you can do anything that you set your mind to. Well, that was a program that she instilled in me. Now, some of you may not have been so lucky to get where your parents actually told you that you can do whatever you set your mind to. But we have to know, we understand when we look at the thoughts and the patterns of our brain, scientific now has proved that you can actually change your brain and change the way of your thinking. Have you ever been in a rut? Just been in a rut. It's a rut. That is the way that you have been programmed, but you can actually change that by changing your thoughts and your beliefs. And it goes along with the Word of God about renewing your mind. Number two is generate satisfying results. And these bullet points are also in the book too. So, and if you want to ask any more about these bullet points, I'll help you out on there too. I love self-help books and anything that we can do to improve ourselves. And I know that you guys are always learning. As my husband said, leaders are readers. I know Dr. Phil is very advocate. I love the DLI. Don't y'all love the DLI program? Yeah. And I'm talking really fast, right? but it's about sacrificing. It's about learning what God has put on the inside to help others. And I agree with what Jason said. You know, it's sometimes we want to look at self-promotion. It's like, what are you doing self-promoting yourself? It's not self-promoting. It's whatever you're hiding. If you try to hide that and say, I'm going to save it till later, how many people cannot be affected if you're holding something back? So I really believe and truly believe that you have to be able not only to take that risk, to step out in faith, but you got to produce, generate satisfying results. And it's about empowering people, not just empowering yourself, but it's about empowering others. What does the word empowering mean? It means putting power into and bring energy and enthusiasm out. So it's important that as leaders that we have to not only when we are sitting down with someone, we have to figure out what has God put in them that they don't even know that it's even in there yet. So we have to discover that. One of the things about being a leader is being an example of behaviors, actions, and values that you want to embrace. We know through history is that people do what people see. People do what people see. Your children will become replicas of you because they see it inside and out. So will your church. Whatever you do, people will do what people see. We have to give without expecting returns. That's going to help people feel connected. So if you want to know how to empower people, it's not micromanaging. Not micromanaging. When you micromanage people, it kills motivation. So in momentum. So it's important that when we look at this as a whole, these little strategic bullet points that I'm giving you, it's helped us make us very, I don't want to say successful, but knowing what we can do to help people, to learn more about God. Give praise and avoid criticism. One of the things that our own son, who actually pastors in Nashville, when we talk about raising people up and maybe when we talk about setting something up like a new ministry, the first thing that he does is we don't just give you the old days is we would give you a little bullet point or a little form that says, this is what I want you to do for me. Well, he does it completely opposite. And I actually love this. He says, what can you do for the ministry? These are the things like for if we want to say children's ministry. Well, what is it that you can do for children's ministry? And he lets them make all of the bullet points. That way in a month's time they can reevaluate and said, are you covering your bullet points that you put down? How do you think we could do this better? But the old way was you pull them into the office and said, you know, you're out of here, buddy. We're going to hire someone else. So things have differently changed from years ago the way we do. Bullet point number three is aspects we must abandon, and that's letting go of past mistakes. We all know how we do that. It's basically we don't hold grudges, but when we look at things that we have to abandon, and we're pretty good about keep moving forward and not letting the past mistakes really hinder us. But one of the things we also must abandon is our future or our past successes. So many times I look at our boys. Our boys are very successful in school. But once they got out of school, they had to abandon that past success and keep moving forward. We cannot live in the old ways, the way we used to do church, when everybody was slain out in the spirit, whenever the way we used to worship, the way the songs we used to sing. We have to move forward in that. Number four is authenticity versus realism. Like I said, people do what people see. I love the idea of real church. It's real. What you see is what you get. We all make mistakes. You saw me almost fall up the stairs there. We all do things like that. We're just being real. Being authentic is being true to yourself with the characteristics to back it up. But what realism is just playing the part. Playing the part. I don't know, most of you may know that I'm a photographer and also I am a painter. So whenever I paint something, I actually see the vision and then I paint it. That's realism. And it, even though it might not look very perfect, just exactly like I see it, that is realism. But authenticity is saying who you are when and who you are, and you're acting it out who you are. Does that make sense? So I want to ask you, how's your capacity to connect with people that are different from you? How's your capacity to connect with people that are different from you? Great leaders will build emotional stamina. In marketing, and most of you may know that I've been in quite a bit of marketing. I've taken some marketing school. But the goal is loyalty. The goal is not just to sell somebody or hire somebody, but it's to get them to believe what you believe. And as pastors, that's one of the things that we want to do, that we want to accomplish, right? We want our people to be loyal. We want them to connect. We want them to grow. We want them to find abundant living. But how we do that is not only to be authentic, but it's also so that they can be able to feel safe in an environment to where they want to connect and where they want to be loyal. And that comes with consistency. Our actions will match our sincerity. And people who come under your leadership want to see you in control, these three things: quality, time, and money. One of the things that I'm learning as far as being a health coach is how you do one thing is how you do everything. And what they're teaching us is, and I love that statement, how you do one thing is how you do everything. So if there's five big areas in your life, and it is, if you look at the spiritual side, the health side, the money side, the love side, and the relationship side, if you are having problems in those one areas, more than likely you're having problems in another area. So it is our job as leaders not only to find the weaknesses of our people that we're ministering to, but it's to help them grow past those weaknesses and become powerful in who they become. And I went off and forgot my chain. My chain was, a great big chain. You think about it. If you push that chain, you never know where it's going to fall. But when you grab a hold of that chain and you walk, then the chain will follow you and lead. But if you push that chain off of a table, you never know which side it's going to fall. So we have to be that example so others will follow. Number five is creating alliance in a changing culture. This is really big, guys, because most of us are in our 40s, 50s. I shouldn't say most of you. You've got all these young ones here. But 20 years ago, this is the way we did it. It was command, control, and decisive and authoritative. In other words, as a pastor, we would say, okay, you do this, you do this. We take care of everything. We micromanage. And Brother Stuber even said it great. He said, when you first start a church, you're everything to everybody. And sometimes you have to do that until you get to the point to where you grow, but just don't micromanage, right? So one of the things that we teach, and I actually have two of my employees here from Wheatgrass Juice Bar, and one of the things that I tell them is we do everything in excellence. We can't do everything perfect, but we do everything in excellence. Excellence means that you are doing it unto the Lord. You're not doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for your business to grow, but you're doing it as unto God. So I think that's important. We have to stop frustrating ourselves with expectations of the next generation to do things like you did. It does not work because we as leaders create the environment that we want to be in, which creates feelings of safeness and it gives purpose and direction. 6 is edifice and synergy. Sacrifice is always helping someone else. If you've ever worked in the military, the thing that people, what just motivates people to go out and give their lives for people? What motivates you to give your life? I know I've seen my husband on Sunday just be totally exhausted after Sunday because he's poured himself out. And I think sometimes as pastors, we get so frustrated and so downhearted that we pour ourselves out to the people and then they continue to mess up, right? They continue to go and they don't adhere to the word of God, but we keep on doing it because it's sacrifice. And I think that's important as leaders, all of us continue to sacrifice for our people. This creates feelings of trust and cooperation, and it creates family. And I love the idea that we have our motto, our mission is to grow the family of God. When we grow the family of God, everybody's family, everybody is coming together. We all have hang-ups. We all have problems. It gets really messy. Love that. But we create a family of culture. And 7 is liberating solution. A leader sets the tone for which he leads. It's always a betterment for the host. Sometimes people don't understand my husband's decision, but when our decision comes forth, when he's conversing with the board members, it's what is the betterment for the whole. It's not for betterment for what's going on right now, but let's look to the future. So that's strategic number 7 is gratitude is the bedrock of abundant living. So you always have to be thankful. Yeah, it gets a little crazy sometimes being a pastor. It gets frustrating sometimes. But if we understand that burnout, get this. I love this little quote here. If you are burnt out, stressed, or tired, it's because we're not delegating enough and we're not empowering people. We're not empowering people. So your job as a successful leader is to find out strengths of people, help them develop their weaknesses, and help them find abundant living. And I don't know about you, but that's what I come to do. That's what God has called me to do, is help others get through their messy things of life and to find that abundant living. And God has given me the order to do these 7 strategic, and I pray that these strategies has somehow helped you.